Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 without a live studio audience. Yes, there is school tomorrow. I hope everyone is still on a high from the absolutely incredible events that have been happening in Israel. For those who have not heard, I posted a podcast last Thursday because there was just so many amazing things happening. I wanted the inspiration of incredible events of the hostage release and the ceasefire, which already by Sunday night is no longer a ceasefire, and there's no surprises there. But the miraculous, absolutely incredible release of the hostages and the stories that are coming out from these hostages is just unbelievable. You could live off their faith, their discovering their Jewish identity. How many of them said that they were offered more food if they would convert to Islam? And many of these Jews had never really thought about their Jewish identity and found in the deep, dark caverns and tunnels of Gaza, they found their inner Jewish spark. They found the connection with the Almighty. And it's story after story after story. Matan Angrest, I forget which stories I said in the podcast on Thursday. Matan Angrest was on a tank, and it was a tank that was attacked and overrun by Hamas on October 7th. And the commander of the tank, Captain Peretz, I believe his name is Captain Daniel Peretz, and I'm confusing him potentially with his father, who is an amazing rabbi who encourages many Jews from South Africa to come make Aliyah and is a very special person. Anyway, the son, who was the commander of the tank, was killed in battle, and his body was taken into Gaza. And his was one of the bodies that was returned. Sadly, not all of the bodies were returned. Of the 28 bodies that are supposed to have been returned, were returned. But his was. And Matan Angrest, who was one of the living captives, came just a few days after he was released to speak at the Levaya, at the funeral of Captain Peretz. And I have to tell you, you cannot write a drama. You cannot write a story that is more dramatic and powerful. And he spoke about how amazing his commander was, who was also a dear friend, who was giving and selfless and protected them. And he was the ideal Jew, the ideal soldier. And it was just, you can't even imagine. Literally, just a few days before, he was sitting in a tunnel in Gaza. And now he was free. And this incredible dance of emotions, of the euphoria of being free and yet still burying one's brother in arms. You can imagine all these stories. So Matan Angrest, he himself said that he somehow got a Tanakh, and he read through the Torah 20 times. He started praying. He says they took everything away from before he came back, but he's a different person now. He is a totally different and plugged in person, Jewishly. And so there's a lot of angles, and I really, really, really want to focus this podcast on God. Last week, we focused on the incredible people of Israel. This podcast, I want to focus on the God of Israel. And the title of this podcast is the Purim story rebooted. You know, when they remake a movie, I believe the term is they reboot it. So we had a story called the Purim story. It's in the Book of Esther, Megillat Esther, the Scroll of Esther, which is part of our canon, which means part of our Tanakh, part of our Bible. We, FYI, do not call it the Old Testament because that implies there's a new one. We call it the Jewish Bible or Tanakh, which is the acronym for Torah, which is the five books of Moses, Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which are the writings. And in the writings are five scrolls, five Megillas, and one of them is Megillas Esther. Because folks, something enormous happened, and we can't miss it. We can't miss it. And so I'd like to take a quick dive into the Purim story, just to give you a 30,000-foot view of what happened there, and then make the comparison that what is happening today is the Purim story rebooted. Okay, for those of you who know, for those of you who don't know, the Purim story and the Megillas Esther, the key to unlock the entire story is the fact that even though it is one of the 24 books of Tanakh, of the Jewish Bible, there is one word that is very saliently missing from the entire text. And that word is God. Now, it's not for lack of words or names of God. There are dozens of different names for Hashem. Hashem, Elohim, Shakai, Shalom, believe it or not, is one. Many, many, many names that can be used for God. And not one of them is used for God in the Megillah. And that key is the key to unopen the story that Purim is the hidden miracle story. Meaning that there are open miracles. That's Passover. That's the beginning of the Jewish cycle of the holiday year. And we kick off Passover with the open miracles of the 10 plagues, with the miraculous manna in the desert and the well with the rock that is traveling enough water for 3 million people, 3 million Jews, you know, who get kvetchy, okay? And miraculous clouds, that's what we're celebrating Sukkot for, that we have these incredible ananei kavod. And clearly the laws of nature were being broken. The splitting of the sea, as many people who want to try to say, well, it was low tide and it was all this stuff. Nonsense. It was a breaking of the laws of nature. Those were the miracles associated with Passover, excuse me, and also with Shavuos, God literally speaking to us on Mount Sinai, pretty miraculous. If you hear God speaking to you like a voice, like someone else is speaking to you, please contact me. We can get you to the right people who can help. Of course, God speaks to us. He speaks to every one of us, but he does not break the laws of nature and speak audibly to us. At least not at this point anymore, sadly, with the loss of prophecy. Now, and we go throughout the Jewish cycle of holidays, we're all commemorating open miracles. Okay, and then we finally get to the very end of the Jewish cycle of holidays, and we get to the Book of Esther. And the Book of Esther reads like any, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal article, right? It's just, it goes, it tells what happened, tells, you know, this story that actually happened. Not when people read it, they think, oh, it's like, you know, it happened in a month, it happened in 2 months. When you track the Megillah, the Megillas Esther, the unique facet of it is that it's not over a month or a year, even a few years. It's over 9 years. It's over 9 years, and we are supposed to see the unbroken chain of events that are strung through from beginning to end that was so obvious to Esther and to Mordechai that they made it into a holiday. They saw godliness not because God broke the laws of nature. It's because God worked within the laws of nature. God worked through the laws of nature. And therefore, there are many opinions that say that Purim is a much higher level of a holiday in certain respects than Yom Kippur, than Passover. Why? Because the other holidays feature open miracles where God splits the sea, where God breaks the laws of nature. And so when God does a miracle in that fashion for us, it's really easy to see. The harder, more challenging miracles to see is when they work through the laws of nature. They do not abrogate anything natural. There's nothing supernatural that is happening. In which case, anyone can explain away the miracle with total and complete logic and rationality. And most people do, sadly. And if they do, they will be missing a great moment when God has revealed himself, but they hide behind the headlines. Okay? And so when we look at this incredible event, and I'll just touch on a few things from October 7th going forward about how maybe the headlines and the news broadcasters would broadcast it, and how does a Jew who's seeing Hashem see Hashem amidst the headlines? So the first one is really, has been talked about a lot. October 7th really should have been, by all rights, a much more painful, vicious, and even dangerous day for the Jewish people. Because if the Arabs just could have, Muslims, could have just gotten their act together and coordinate a timing of the attacks that we know subsequently from attacking Lebanon. They had the same maps of the north that Hamas had of the southern kibbutzim with the same plans. They were going to do the same thing. And somehow, it was only Hamas that attacked from Gaza and not all of the other countries. Iran was supposed to attack simultaneously with Lebanon. And the commentators all agree that quite possibly could have been the end of Israel or pretty darn close. It would have been a very, very, very difficult death tally there. So you can either say that, well, okay, it was a lucky break, and you know the Arab states are never organized together when they want to destroy us. Okay, yeah, you could say that, or you could say the Almighty wanted to send us a message, a brutal message, but he did not want to destroy us. Okay, so that's right off the bat. And if you look through each stage of the incredible victories, not only over Hamas, but of this incredible beeper situation. I mean, the beeper situation. The fact that 5,000 beepers were distributed and they bought it from a company in Holland that was a shell company for the Israeli Mossad. And not one of the beepers over many years was discovered to have this, you know, explosive devices and properties to it. And it was only at the very, very end where two of the beepers were sent back to Iran for analysis. And then Bibi pulled the trigger and said, hey, we need to detonate these things or else we're going to be discovered. But for years they had them. Are you kidding me? So people will say, well, the Mossad is really quite clever. Yes, the Mossad is clever. But no one figured it out. Not one of thousands of Hezbollah dropped their beeper. It broke open and they said, what's in that compartment over there? Not one. Okay. So again, there's nothing dramatic. It could be totally natural. Or no, we'd be missing the moment where the Almighty is revealing it. And I want to get to the, there's many, 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 many more miracles to talk about, literally. And if you listen, and I encourage everyone to listen to the hostage accounts of how many times their buildings they were in were bombed or right near the tunnels, and they were miraculously saved. Now, again, someone could just say, well, there's a lucky duck and that's great. And, you know, but countless dozens of times just missing. It is absolutely incredible. And I want to get to the actual deal that Hamas agreed to. Now, I mentioned this briefly in the previous podcast, but if you could imagine Vegas odds on Hamas giving away their last bargaining chips, all of them, all 20 of them alive, and giving them back to Israel, even with, okay, you know, the ratio of Gilad Shalit was 1, a previous hostage deal to 1,000. So theoretically, they could have asked for 20,000 prisoners back. They didn't. They asked, they got about 2,000, at least they, not all of them have been returned because they've already broken the deal. But, you know, a friend of mine sent me a New York Times headline. And, you know, just to show you where the New York Times is, they said that the Hamas goes out on a limb. Hamas takes a risk by releasing the hostages. And obviously, that's the focus of the New York Times because they're anti-Semitic. Okay, but I wrote back to him. I said, it's true. It's true. It makes zero sense. And some people say Qatar finally put pressure on them. And it was the Israeli attack that pressured Qatar. They realized they weren't safe. It was getting too close to home. Qatar at any point could have pressured them over the last few years. Well, it was Trump. Well, okay, we have to thank Trump. We have to be very grateful. I don't care who we are. It was the Arab states. It was, so you have a choice. Of course, there were geopolitical factors at play. But what was the force that got all the wheels greased and brought everyone together to have a monomaniacal, suicidal, terrorist, fanatic, jihadist group give away their best bargaining chip for relatively little? And this is the point where we have to look at the world and point and say, Ze keli va'amvehu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Maimonides, and as well as the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, these are big rabbis from the Middle Ages, they give an unbelievable analogy. They say, imagine that someone is walking in the forest at night, and it's dark and stormy, and he does not know the way. And then all of a sudden, there's a huge thunderclap and a piercing roar of lightning that come and illuminates the entire forest and the path that he needs to follow. And then in a split second again, it's dark. We have to take that moment to see the path. Folks, Hashem sent the lightning bolt. Through every headline, God's presence is bursting off the page. It's bursting out of our computer screens in every story of every hostage, in every nook and cranny of this last 2 years. And you can't miss it, but you can miss it. And that's why this is the Purim story rebooted. Because at the end of the Purim story, we're supposed to see that through 9 years of this saga, that the Almighty was there to save the Jewish people without splitting the sea, but in a certain way, in a more dramatic and powerful way, working through the laws of nature, working through geopolitical channels, the hand of the Almighty takes care of us. And that's what we need to take. What a pity would it be if we would not take the clarity, if we would close our eyes at the moment of that flash of lightning and not see that direction for the rest of our lives. This moment is a special moment. We need to grab onto it. We cannot be the same people. As I said last week, we cannot be the same people we were before this event as we are now. We must be different. Hashem has lit up the way that when we go through the humdrum of our own lives, we have to perceive that Hashem is speaking to us. He's telling us. He's guiding us. He's showing that he loves us. So if anyone ever asks you, where is God in the world? You show him this podcast and you show him the miraculously normal yet miraculous events of the last 2 years of the Jewish people. May Hashem continue to watch over the Jewish people in an open way and in a private, hidden way. And may we all merit to see it. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivations.